Friday edition of the Fantasy Hockey Podcast. I'm going to try to sound more alive than Brandon is today. He sent me the podcast script at 2:10 a.m. and it was finished. So clearly he was working on it. I don't know what happened there. But to be fair, I also woke up at 7 today, which is a miracle. I haven't been waking up early recently. So we're going to get this up hopefully earlier than usual.
I sent it to you when I started it at 2:10, by the way.
You started it at 2:10?
Yeah, and then I finished it, like, I don't know, later.
You're a madman. An absolute madman. And he's awake. And he is awake. Right now it is 8:56, and he's awake. We're going to review the week, give you weekend pickup suggestions, give you our high and low value picks for tonight. And we did a draft on draft already. Let me pull up those teams real quick. And as usual, as we always say, download it. App Store, Play Store, draft.com. Use promo code FHP, and you get a free entry and a money-back guarantee up to $100. Now, for the teams, I took Harry Sotirian net.
And that's how you're going to lose.
And that's right there. You have Braden Holtby, which I also I think that's bold, too, against Columbus. Just going to put
Columbus
that out there.
Columbus has been terrible lately.
I mean, Columbus has been terrible, but I don't know. I think that's bold. I like Harry Sotirian against L.A., actually. L.A.'s had trouble scoring. They did win against Edmonton, but that's Edmonton. And then on defense, I continue with my weird picks here, and I take Alexander Edler versus Dustin Byfuglien. Byfuglien, it was my number one choice for tonight, but I like Edler against Carolina, so whatever. Forwards.
You picked Edler before I picked Byfuglien.
I did?
You did.
Wow.
You're insane.
You'd think I was the one awake at 2:10 a.m. in this draft. Oh, well, whatever. For forwards, I took Ovechkin, Sagan, and Malkin, exactly the team I wanted. I liked Tavares a lot, but I knew you would get him in that after I took Ovechkin first overall, so I'm happy with it. And as a little preview there, you took Tavares, Trocheck, and McDavid. So that's the teams. We'll recap you on Monday how they went. Moving on to week's best players, I'll start here with a Vegas Golden Knight in David Perron.
Perron.
That name is so hard for me. I don't know why. But I'm very, very happy I picked him up. 4 games played, 5 assists, -4, 2 power play points, 8 shots on goal, 7 hits, and 1 block. A massive week from him. Shane Gostisbehere, 3 games played, 5 assists, +3, 2 power play points, 6 shots on goal, and 3 hits, and 9 blocks. Great week from him, those 5 assists. He had a 3 assist night last night, so that's kind of bringing up his stats. But nonetheless, the kid is killing it. Eric Staal, 4 games played, 4 goals, 2 assists, +1, 3 power play points, 1 shot on goal, 5 hits, and 2 blocks. I think I lost my trade when I traded him for Wayne Simmonds, but to be fair, Eric Staal was on my bench every single time because McKinnon and Getzlaff were on there, and then I also had Kadri. I just had too many centers, and Simmonds has been fine. Like, he hasn't been great, but at least he's playing. And then lastly, Tuukka Rask, who is really working himself into the Vezina conversation here. 2 games played, 2 wins, 1.50 goals against average, and a .942 save percentage. What a week.
Yeah. For me, starting out, I'm going to talk about Connor McDavid. 2 games played, 5 goals, 2 assists, +2, 11 shots, 1 game-winning goal, 3 power play points, and 1 block. So he really had the last couple of games. Yeah, he's been pretty amazing lately.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of amazing, also, Evgeny Malkin has been quite good. 3 games played, 4 goals, 3 assists, +3, 4 PIMs, 12 shots, 2 power play points, 5 hits, and 3 blocks. Next up, somebody who's not 100% owned in Corey Perry. I think it's his first time making it on this list.
I think so.
3 games played, he had 2 goals, 4 assists, 12 PIM, 12 shots, 2 power play points, 1 hit, and 2 blocks. So Bangers Leagues, that's fun. Or even not necessarily Bangers Leagues, but any leagues that count PIMs.
How much are you enjoying this right now?
I just hope it, like, I very much have, like, I'm, like, holding my breath here because it can easily fall apart.
You've been waiting for this all season.
Yeah. Because I have Getzlaff, too, so it's been real good.
Yep.
And then next up here, PK Subban. 4 games played, 3 goals, 2 assists, +2, 20 shots, 2-0. 7 hits and 4 blocks. So 5 shots a game from Subban. Very good for you if you have him on D, as that boosts your numbers quite a bit.
I'm so mad I couldn't get him in a trade. Damn it.
Yeah, wanted he was so not bad. Willing to trade.
I know. Ugh, that guy wouldn't trade.
I targeted him too for a while.
Yeah. I tried everything, man. Didn't work. For week's worst players, Ryan Miller is going to start here with 3 games played, 1 win, 5.52 goals against average, and an 8.48 save percentage. After such a great start to the season, he is completely died recently. He's not worth it at all in any format, or even in real life almost. Moving on, Jeff Skinner, 3 games played, a -4, 2 PIMs, and 8 shots on goal only. He's a third line guy now. He's consistently been on the third line. I don't think he's been cycled into that top six for who knows how long now. And he's on the second power play. Just trade him. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, they are messing up big time.
Why? I just don't get it. They did this last season too. And then they needed to make the playoffs. They put him on the top line. He started scoring again, and they missed. Hello, you should have been doing that from the beginning. I don't get Jeff Skinner at all. I don't understand why they're... I don't understand what they're doing. He makes no sense to me. Tyson Barrie, 3 games played, -3, 6 shots on goal, 3 hits, and 5 blocks. An okay week from him. I guess the peripherals are decent. They're clearly easing him in. He's at around 21 minutes average time on ice over those 3 games. And I think where it kind of... really affected him there was, well, obviously Rantanen was out for a bit, McKinnon is out, and he still has not gotten the top pairing. It's still Nikita Zadorov and Eric Johnson, and he also has not won back the first power play yet, which is still Samuel Girard and Tyson Yost on defense. So that's really where you're seeing that value.
Tyson Yost is a center.
Yeah, but he's still playing on defense for the power play. Like the,
oh, he's
the
playing points. The quarterback. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think they.
He's
have
just playing.
Is this Samuel Girard playing the quarterback?
I don't know. I mean, I know. He's one of the point guys.
Correct. Yeah, he's playing on the point. So that's really where you're seeing Tyson Barrie's value take a hit. So I expect him to take that back over, but who knows? I mean, Samuel Girard and Tyson Yost have been playing really, really well. So it's theirs to lose, I think, at this point, more than anything.
Yeah. I think it'll happen eventually, but...
Yeah.
Okay, for me, Ryan Kesler. Different duck. 3 games played, no points, -4, 2 PIMs, 5 shots, 6 hits, and 2 blocks. So the peripherals are okay, but that's not what you want out of a guy like Kesler, especially if you sat on him for so long. He just hasn't really quite gotten it back since coming back from injury. Next up, Patrick Maroon. Sort of the same thing. Like, I'm kind of comparing him to somebody else on the same team. This time it's McDavid, but... as we know, Maroon typically gets his value from his line mates. He's not like a... He does not make himself. This is just mostly to show that McDavid is doing everything, and Maroon, who typically has good hits and good shots when he's on a decent line, doesn't this time. 2 games played, no points, -1, 1 shot, 3 hits, and 2 blocks. Garbage, just all throughout. Not worth owning unless he gets moved to a top line again, and even then it's pretty marginal in Bangers Leagues. Bangers League's only, really. I don't think I would own him in a standard league.
I wouldn't own him at all at this point.
Yeah. I'm saying if he got moved up to the top line, I would only even consider him in a Bangers League still. Next up, Jake Allen. It's kind of like... is more of like more than just a short-term call here, because he only played 1 game, and that was in relief. And in that game, he played 2 periods, he gave up 3 goals, and he posted a 7.50 save percentage.
Allen, you're the worst. Like,
it's not looking good. It's not looking good for him rest of the season at all.
I swear I was so pissed. I was 2 seconds away. I kid you not. The slate was about to start. It was 6:40. I'd just gotten home, was checking my lineup to make sure. I put Allen on my bench, and then I was sitting there thinking, Minnesota, Hutton probably won't get pulled. So I put him back into my lineup. And of course, he screws me. Of course.
Was it against Minnesota? I thought it was against Colorado.
It was against Minnesota. And then what also happened, which was even stupider, was the one time when the last time Hutton got pulled and Allen got put in, he actually put up a good save percentage. And then the one time I leave him in and Hutton gets pulled, he kills it. Kills my goalie
stats.
Kills
himself.
Whatever. Yes, kills himself. Allen is... I thought I was getting a little bit of an upgrade from Price. Nope. Not happening, so whatever. I guess I'll just live with my misery. And then Fleury also gets bad save percentages. Nope, bad days. Moving on to week's biggest upsets. We can pick the same games here. I don't think we overlap anywhere. I agree with yours, but I don't think we overlap. I'm going to take Colorado at St. Louis first. St. Louis won it 6-1. That was last night. I guess we're seeing that Nathan MacKinnon is a big factor in Colorado. Strange, right? The Devils at Ottawa, 5-3 win for Ottawa. Didn't expect that one. Ottawa's kind of turning it around lately. Big part of that is Craig Anderson playing well finally. Columbus at the Islanders next. The Islanders won 4-3 at home. What a miracle. They still let in 3 goals, but they won. So, whatever. Congratulations, Islanders. You still can't stop the puck, but you can at least keep putting it in, and you beat a mediocre Columbus team. So there's that.
I'm pretty sure if against the game against Buffalo, they gave up more than 30, that makes 21 straight games in which they've given up... they didn't give up 30. They only gave up 22. They broke the streak.
The streak is ended.
They went 20 straight games giving up at least 30 shots, which is just insane. Anyway. New York Islanders at Buffalo. This was yesterday. 3-4 loss. Kind of surprised because they've been playing reasonably well lately. I mean, they still let in pucks, but they look better on offense. I didn't expect them to lose to Buffalo, especially considering they gave up goals on the first 2 shots of the game. That really ruins... I mean, I don't know. Everybody seems to be losing in Metro all of a sudden, so they still have a window into the playoffs, but it's definitely getting smaller.
Oh, yeah.
Anaheim at Montreal. A 5-2 victory for Montreal on that one, and that was with Niemi in net. That's why I was surprised by it mostly. This is on Saturday, by the way. We're already going back into last weekend because there wasn't too many upsets really in the week.
Nope.
A lot of them were not necessarily predictable, but not super surprising. And then lastly, this is all the way last Friday, Detroit at Carolina. Detroit winning 4-1 at home when Carolina should have been in desperation mode. What else can you say about that? Playing spoiler.
At this point, I think Carolina's pretty much out of the playoffs. Very likely.
If Detroit wins tonight against the Islanders, they could really screw them up, too. So that'll be Detroit truly playing spoiler in the Metro.
Good. It brings back my hatred, my young hatred when I was a Colorado Avalanche fan for the Detroit Red Wings. moving on to players and teams you keep an eye out for tonight. First, we'll go
over
the
matchups.
Why were
you an Avalanche fan?
When I was growing up,
NHL 94, is that why?
That's not why. So the reason why was because when we were little, we lived in an apartment building, didn't have much money, and so we didn't have cable. And I only had national TV. So the Avalanche being so good at the time, really, they were the team I saw the most. And I was a goaltender, and I really liked goalies, and Patrick Roy, to me, was absolutely incredible. So I was more a fan of Patrick Roy than I was the Avalanche. I mean, I liked Forsberg and Sakic, and like, who couldn't like that team? But I was more than anything a fan of of Patrick Roy. So I was, in effect, a fan of the Avalanche. And then once I had access to all the teams, I kind of chose based on the style I like the most, and I like the Rangers, and I like New York, so that's why.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I think it does. Moving on to teams with good matchups for the week. Anaheim versus Edmonton Friday and versus San Jose, who is tired, on Sunday. They should be able to win those two, but San Jose may prove to be a little bit of a test. Boston plays Buffalo Saturday and at the Devils, who are tired, Sunday, and that's back-to-back for Boston as well. I think Boston should win both of these games, and I think Kincaid is probably the best streaming option for the weekend. Carolina, who plays versus Vancouver on Friday and then back-to-back at Colorado, or versus Colorado on Saturday. Jesus.
Wait, did you say Kincaid's the best? You mean Khudobin?
Yes. It's a Friday. Like I said, you'd think that I'm the person who woke up at 2 a.m. Jeez. Colorado plays, like I said, Carolina, tired on Saturday, and then at Buffalo, who's tired on Sunday, and that's a back-to-back for Colorado. So they have a pretty tough schedule considering the back-to-back, but they get two teams that are tired, so that's nice. And then lastly here, Washington versus Columbus on Friday and then versus Detroit on Sunday. Neither team is tired, so Washington will be looking to steal some points there. And Detroit could play a little bit of spoiler there, hurting Washington's chances at winning the Metro. And moving on to teams with bad matchups before you take us into teams that play both off days and the players you suggest. We'll start with the Rangers, who honestly I think have a bad matchup regardless of who they play here. They play versus Calgary on Friday and then at Winnipeg on Sunday. Neither one is tired. One's at home, one's away, clearly. Pittsburgh plays at Dallas on Friday and at St. Louis on Sunday, so an away road trip here. Kind of a tough schedule. I think both of these teams could give them fits, but Pittsburgh's been looking really good. St. Louis plays at Winnipeg on Friday, and that's a back-to-back from yesterday, and it's really sad that Daily Faceoff has Hutton projected tonight, even though he played yesterday. That just tells you how good Allen has been. And then versus Pittsburgh on Sunday. And that's about it. And how about you take us into the teams that play both off days?
Sure. That would be Anaheim, Calgary, Dallas, Detroit, New York Islanders, New York Rangers, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, Vancouver, Washington, and Winnipeg. So those are your targets for free starts, as you're going to want to try to avoid that Saturday slate, assuming you have to bench already.
Yep, yep. And then moving into players based on that you should pick up. I'll start here with Alexander Edler, who's a 24% owned on Yahoo, 31% on ESPN, and he's giving you a call. He wants you to pick up because he's killing it. He's crazy good. It's nuts. Like, he's in our league, his average is 135 rank. Over the last, 7 days, or over the last 30 days, if you look at ranks on Yahoo at least, and this isn't a bangers league, he has not been above 100 rank. The guy is honestly incredible, and no one is paying attention. It's amazing. It's honestly pretty crazy. Even in my points league, he's killing it. So I don't know what to tell you. Next up, Ryan Spooner, 7% owned on Yahoo, 13.2% on ESPN. Second line, top power play. That top power play thing is huge. He hasn't been there all season. He was on the second power play, and now he's on the top. I think what happened was they moved Danton Heinen down and moved up Ryan Spooner. So
must have been.
So everyone is picking up Danton Heinen, but here's Ryan Spooner on a better line and on a better power play. So Ryan Spooner's flying under the radar here on a Boston team that is on fire. And Matthew Perreault is my last one here. Very, very short-term option because the lines get shuffled so much in Winnipeg. Mark Scheifele is back, and they're doing an interesting thing that I thought was an option. I didn't expect, though, is line A is going to stay on the top line with Scheifele and Wheeler, and Perreault is going to go to that second line with Nikolaj Ehlers and Brian Little, but he's on the second power play, so that's okay, but he's at least on a good line, and Winnipeg scores a lot, and they have a home game tonight, and I think their next game is at home as well. I don't remember. I think I mentioned them, but yeah, he's 28% on Yahoo and 37.6% on ESPN, so a little bit of a discrepancy there between the two sites, but I do like him a lot as long as he's on that second line, and there is a chance, too, that he could be moved up to the top line, and they can move Patrick Laine back to the second line that he's played on all season. And instead of bringing Kyle Connor up, they actually bring up Matthew Perreault and let him get some time with Wheeler and Scheifele. So he's an interesting pickup just because of what could happen in Winnipeg. And he has been playing really, really well.
Yeah, for me, I'm going to start in Vancouver with Bo Horvat. 33% owned on Yahoo. He plays the off days, as we already talked about, top line, top power play with Brock Besser. Playing good minutes, and he could turn into a longer-term move depending on how well that line clicks. I think he'd probably be like a 50, mid-50 point guy. That might even be a ceiling because I just don't know yet, at least for this season. Next up, Brian Rust, 7% owned on Yahoo, playing top line with Crosby and top power play now, and playing a ton of minutes. He played 21:39 in his last game, so they're clearly willing to play him like crazy. With that kind of time, he must be playing not only top power play, but also shorthanded, I would think.
Yep.
So Brian Rust, he's got actually really good speed, so that it kind of took him longer than I would have expected to play a guy like him with Crosby, but I think it's an interesting move.
Gensel is also on the top line now, and top power play.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Wait, I didn't see Gensel on the top power play. I saw top power play was Malkin, Kessel, Crosby, Letang, and Rust. At least last time I checked.
Maybe it changed a little bit in, I don't know. You know what? Daily Faceoff and Left Wing Locker are not in agreement here about this right now.
Probably.
They have Simone on the top line, or Simon, rather. But Daily Faceoff has.
I think it is Simone, actually.
I think it is too. I think Daily Faceoff
has an accent.
Is it Simone?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Simone.
Probably. Yeah, I don't know. Never mind. Screw the Gensel suggestion. He's garbage. Who's go on to your next guy.
Paul Stastny is my next one. 26% on Yahoo. He's centering Steen and Tarasenko on the top line. He plays second power play, but kind of doesn't matter that much because St. Louis's power play is only clicking at 16%, which is kind of, I feel like, their own fault They're playing Vince Dunn top power play instead of Parayko or Pietrangelo, who are much more proven defensemen. Maybe like St. Louis fans can explain to us what's happening here, but to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Yeah. All right. Let's move into our picks of the night. Yeah, that's it. That's the end.
I was confused. I was like, oh, wait, does he have anything else? Nope. Top picks for tonight. We agree completely on Josh Bailey versus Detroit. He's a very cheap option. Detroit isn't very good snapping the puck. And then I like Connor McDavid at Anaheim because John Gibson might not be back. He's still in IR. So there's a good chance we get Ryan Miller or Rito Barra, I guess.
Yep.
So whatever that is, I'll take Connor McDavid, who's been on fire. And then lastly, Blake Wheeler versus St. Louis. They're unreal at home. Same record as Vegas, actually. And St. Louis is tired, and Scheifele is back. So that could help Wheeler's value a lot here. And he's not that expensive. He's expensive, but he's not that expensive.
Yeah, I like those picks. For me, I'm going to add to Josh Bailey, also John Tavares. Get the pair of them, both versus Detroit at home. They are tired, though, but I still think I think they're going to play a good game tonight.
Yep.
And then lastly, I like Braden Holtby at home against Columbus. They already beat him earlier in the week. Columbus has been struggling quite a bit lately. I think this could be kind of the nail in the coffin for, well, maybe not. I mean, they're still in the playoffs at the moment. But like I mentioned earlier, this is not a nail in the coffin of them missing the playoffs. It's a nail in the coffin of them being fringe.
Yep.
Which was what I kind of expected them to be by the end of the season anyway. So, and I'm going to jump right into my value picks. I like the entire Detroit top line, actually. Zetterberg, Nyquist, Mantha. So I like both sides of the Islanders game, which how could you not? Like, the Vegas odds on those games are over under 7 goals, like, on every game. So, yeah, play either side of the Islanders. Tends to work out reasonably well.
Yeah, usually. It usually works since they can't stop the puck for their lives.
Yeah.
So one interesting thing too about Columbus is they actually have 2 games in hand on the Islanders. So while they're fringe and they're tied with the Isles right now, they do have the advantage compared to the Islanders, which is interesting. Another team, actually.
I don't expect the Islanders to actually knock them out. I don't expect the Islanders to knock them out. I expect, if anybody, it's going to be some other team that does it. But
true.
Either, and anyway, if they lose tonight, then if they lose today and the Islanders win tonight, it's a little scary for Columbus.
Interesting.
Even with 2 games in hand.
The team that's really interesting to me right now is Florida. They're about to get their top 2 goaltenders back, and they have only 51 games played. So they actually have 4 games in hand on the Isles and 3 games in hand on, or 2 games in hand, sorry, on Columbus and 3 on Philadelphia. So they're right in it. They're not out. They're
right
there.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. And that's good for them that they're about to get Luongo and Reimer back. Okay, moving into my value picks. Alexander Edler is my first one. Clearly, I like him. I've said it before. They're playing at Carolina. Carolina's not very good. I think it's going to be Darling in net today, which means lots of goals. And Corey Perry versus Edmonton. Somehow, DraftKings has still not adjusted their price to reflect that he's on the top line, top power play. He's a good option. And lastly here, if Jake Gensel is top line, top power play, and Daily Faceoff is not lying and behind as it usually is, I like him quite a bit tonight because he's just so, so cheap. And he's at Dallas, which has opportunity for goals.
Did you actually say his name?
Who, Gensel? Did I?
Yeah,
I don't know. Is he worth it? I don't know if I want to. I think I was just going to keep it a secret. And then if it worked out, I'd say his name. If it didn't, it's like, oops, I didn't say his name.
Gensel or Rust, pay attention to lines.
Yeah, both of them. Pay attention to lines, see who's on there. It's probably going to be Rust because Daily Faceoff is always behind, but whatever. Okay, and that is it. Thank you for listening to our Friday episode. We might do a Saturday episode. It depends on if Brandon's alive or not from today.
I'll be alive. We'll do one.
He'll be alive. We'll do a Saturday show. So we'll see you tomorrow. And other than that, have a great Friday, and thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening.